Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective, and more affordable than you might think. Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, Ron, you're going back to the beginning of the early UFO era, back in the 1940s, in the 1950s, the Robertson panel, decisions made to persuade the public that UFOs are fringe, nothing to be taken seriously. This policy persists. That persistence, other than just being force of habit, is something to you wonder about. How do you keep it for so many years? Or is it that there are other aspects that are part of it, which is that some of the things we see are test aircraft? So probably there could be a feeling on the part of the military that if people think those are UFOs, they won't take it seriously, even though there's a serious phenomenon. We've got two issues going on. What do you think?
It's an excellent point. I think that, oftentimes I've heard how, supposedly the military wants the UFO story out there on one hand, because then they could say, yeah, that's not ours, because they don't want to reveal their technology. It's very curious. There's so many ways to look at this. I feel what I was saying earlier was that I think that the giggle factor, if you will, although diminished now, that has really resonated through the years. They have done a great job of keeping that, perpetuating that stereotype of the silliness of the tinfoil hat of the UFO. And I just think it's just ridiculous, and time to move past that. I feel that there's enough legitimate things happening by enough legitimate researchers that it warrants serious look. At the very least, it warrants a serious look. People that dismiss this out of hand, I think, is completely ignorant and not being fair or true or open at all. It's my take.
Again, there may be no other choice.
No other choice because they're afraid of the ridicule, you mean?
Well, again, do you want a government saying, we got something going on there, we have no clue what it is, so we can't help anybody if there is a problem
Yeah, I understand, and I feel like, don't worry about the government. Let's not sweat that. Let's talk to the researchers and talk to the people that are looking at this subject. You guys were asking a minute ago about, are people replacing John Mack? I don't think they're as high profile as he was, but I do think some people are looking at this, and I'm sure you guys have experienced this too. How often in your day-to-day life you end up stumbling across people who are interested in this topic or can speak to this topic, and they're just, an attorney or whatever they are, just in the 3D world. They're not necessarily a researcher, but they have a cursory interest in this, or they have some knowledge, or maybe they've had an experience or seen something or know someone who has. I find that to be true all the time. And I just feel like a lot of these people are doing really good work, and I feel like I don't need them to come out on the White House lawn and tell me. I just need to find out what's going on through the people that are really on the front lines looking at this and doing the research and interviewing these people. I think we can find the answers there. We don't have to wait to be told.
But that keeps it to a small number of people. How do you get the masses to accept it's not just entertainment on reality TV? This, folks, is real and serious.
Well, you're 100% right. I completely agree with that. It does keep it to a small number of people. But we have seen, I think you could easily argue, in the last 10 or 20 years, more people are open and interested in this topic than they were 10 or 20 years ago. It's unquestionably more popular. There's more articles being written. There are more TV shows on History Channel or Discovery Channel that look at these things. So I think I think you can build a grassroots movement of this, like is happening now. and more people that watch these shows and are curious by these topics that are new to this, younger people who are being exposed to this for the first time. Just like myself, I found this fascinating, and I started listening to things and started reading the books, and it kind of sucks you in, and then you start giving it some more weight. And I think that that can continue to happen. Yes, it is still a small segment, but I think more and more people can easily become more open to this and learn more. And I think that that's what we need, actually. I think more people need to really find out what's going on, and this will grow on its own. And I think that that's actually very possible.
So maybe there will be disclosure, but it will take 25 years.
Well, I don't know that. I mean, I if you ask my personal opinion, and I know nothing, as Tim says, I don't see the government doing official disclosure in 25 years. I think that's hundreds of years away. But, you know, there's a critical mass point. At some point, everybody just sort of believes something. You know what I mean? It's, you know, we think about how people used to believe the Earth was flat, and then some guy said, no, look, here's why it's round. And then that sort of had to disseminate out through the masses to there was a point where we actually believed it. You know, we didn't have the president on the White House lawn announcing it. It sort of took time. There's a telescope out here in California, the Wilson Telescope, and it's not, this is fascinating to me, it's not hundreds of years ago. I think it was 1923. Don't quote me on that, but it's something like that. It's like 100 years ago, or maybe slightly less than 100 years ago, that they built this giant telescope, and it was the first time they saw outside of our galaxy. So in other words, the expanse of mankind up until this telescope was built thought that our galaxy was the entirety of the universe. They thought that was the universe. And then they built this telescope that could see beyond our galaxy. And it was only at that point when we realized that this is just a galaxy that's part of the universe. So now you had to change your way of thinking, and it took a while for people to understand, come to grips with that. And then, you know, less than that ago, I pardon me for not knowing the dates like I should, but in the last 40, 50 years, they thought that there were probably no planets around most of the stars. That was considered very highly unlikely, that most likely these were just standalone stars. There were no planets in their solar systems. And then they found one and then two. And now the belief is that it's probably more likely that planets are more common than stars themselves. And it's a completely turning upside down what was the normal belief among the masses. And I feel like those three examples are good examples of how humanity gets new knowledge, and then, you know, over time it changes because that gets disseminated. And I feel that could be the same thing here.
We grow up and believe that ET is here, and maybe that's part of our growing process. As we become more aware of our universe, more scientific discoveries, whatever is out there becomes more apparent. Of course, I have this crazy reality notion here, which I throw out. Don't take it seriously, folks. That reality expands to our perception of it. Maybe somewhere in the past, the Earth was flat because that's what we believed. But as soon as enough people believed it had to be round, therefore it is round. As soon as people believe that it wasn't just heaven up there, but other stars, that's what happened. Reality expands because of what our perceptions of it are. But that would also imply some simulation there, which can be pretty crazy, isn't it?
Gene, that's awesome. I think that quote is fantastic. And haven't you heard these stories of there were certain civilizations where they had never seen giant ships before, and then when invaders actually came and the ships were coming on the horizon, they say they literally didn't even see them because they didn't know what it was. So they say they didn't even see them because they didn't recognize that's a ship, because they didn't know what a ship was.
Well, we've got a lot more to deal with the universe. What a concept. Captain Ron, Gene, Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
Both my legs were amputated due to an IED. It's when you start to try to get back into, like, an everyday life. I absolutely felt like I lost some of my purpose. There must be something more. When DAV came into my life, they gave me a new mission. I could still be a productive member of society, could still support a family.
The DAV gave him that sense of structure and purpose again to get his life back together.
Visit DAV.org to learn more about our mission.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Okay, Captain Ron, why are you a captain?
I did a podcast, 10 or 15 years ago, and It was a show about medical cannabis I was doing with a medical doctor, and it was like a comedy show, and then we put the show together, and they wanted me to have a name, and it was like the day of our show, they wanted that and we didn't have one for me. And so like right when we went on the air, we started saying Captain Ron just because of the, there's a movie or something, Captain Ron. And I used it on that show and I'll be damned if it didn't sort of stick. It was just sort of a silly nickname for that silly show. And then it sort of stuck. And then when I moved on and did Truth Be Told and the Observation Deck, it just sort of stuck. And like people were just calling me that or got used to it. And now I'm sort of stuck with it, if you will.
Well, it's a good name. And and I've heard other DJs who've used that as well, you know. Captain Ron and the Morning Team.
Right. There you go. Exactly.
You know, we were talking about the idea of how information and a belief in the reality of something can perpetuate over the years. And it makes me wonder, talking about, say, like disclosure, do you think that for a lot of people in the general public, because so many of us were raised on, say, like television shows, Saturday morning cartoons that had, you know, little friendly aliens and things like that, that a lot of people right now would be surprised to learn that we really don't have any evidence of life on other planets, that they're just already naturally assuming that there's life out there because what they grew up on, pop culture-wise.
Yeah, I suppose people that started that are young enough that that's always, they kind of grew up with this being in pop culture, they would feel that way. I wonder, that's a really good question. It'd be great to interview a lot of like 10-year-olds and see what they think about it. They may think much differently than 10-year-olds felt 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. I would suspect that 50 years ago they would all say no. And now they would probably say a much higher percentage. They say that more people than not believe in extraterrestrial life and or UFOs. And of course, in the scientific community, what we're talking about here is that it's universally accepted that there's probably intelligent life in our universe somewhere. The big question in the debate and what we're really talking about here is, has it been to Earth? That's the real question. Has it made it here? And I don't know, but when you come to these conferences and you talk to these experts and you hear firsthand accounts of people that make these claims, and then you have researchers who have under hypnosis interviewed thousands of people, and they have very similar stories. Now you have scientific data, and now you have firsthand accounts, and now you have a compelling picture here that I feel that this warrants attention, and I think too many people dismiss it without seeing it. Of course, they've maybe never talked to an abductee or a contactee, and maybe they feel, you know, too far away from it, maybe. I don't know. I feel like I've had the opportunity to talk to many people like that, and many of them are very compelling. Yeah, I'm sure you fellows feel the same way, that you've talked to people directly, face-to-face, man-to-man, eye-to-eye, and that's different than just seeing it in a book or seeing it on TV. When somebody shares a story, a firsthand account with you, and you realize that, you know, they're moved by this, and maybe they lost their job and their wife and their whole life fell apart because of this experience. It's pretty compelling.
When it comes to the phenomena, we owe so much, though, to the experiencer, to the people who have seen these things or maybe even have claimed to have had, you know, personal experiences with whatever the phenomena is. Yet that is the part that is the most ignored and the most ridiculed, especially by those who are claiming to want to do the scientific research on the subject. Yet without these experiences, without these personal experiences, we really don't have much.
Well, I think that's interesting. We you're right. We don't have any physical evidence. We don't have that, you know, tailpipe from a UFO. We do just have the experiencers, but there's so many of them. And you're right, that's the part that's ridiculed and whatever. It's interesting how we all have these different paradigms of belief. And you kind of don't realize it in your day-to-day life until you examine a topic like this. I've spoke to people who... Now, this is funny to me. I've spoke to people who, let's say, they researched the Loch Ness Monster, and they've been over there, and they fully believe that it's real, and they are convinced of it, and they're doing it. And they will be extremely dismissive of people who believe in Bigfoot, for example. And I'm like, well, wait a minute, you believe in the Loch Ness Monster? We're like, well, yeah, that's real. We've seen it. We've got this evidence. We've got this. We've got this. We've got this. That's real. Bigfoot's just silly. That's just somebody walking around with fake feet. And it's like,
when you see my feet, you'd wish they were fake. Let me just throw something back at you
Ron. From my seat, those two things seem just as outlandish. And it's funny how everyone has their own little paradigm. And yes, in general, I think it's one thing for somebody outside this community to talk about lights in the sky. Then you talk about crashed craft. Now you're kind of another level. Now you start talking about seeing the bodies. That's another level. Now you talk about the contactee, the abduction experience, or worse, the people that have these visitations, and it's like they claim to have plans that, oh, on this date, this alien's going to come and we're going to, you know, walk on the beach together or whatever. And I've actually heard those accounts. The more you get down the line, you know, the harder it is for more people to accept or digest, because that's a harder thing to digest. I mean, wow. It's one thing to think about. Maybe there's somebody out there in the universe thinking of traveling across the galaxy to Earth. It's another that you're having lunch with them next Friday. That's a giant leap. So, you know, I think you're right that the abduction part of this is the more ridiculed part, but that's the harder part for 3D world to accept, because wow. And it's also the scary part. I mean, my God, I find these cases that are compelling, regardless what's happening to those people, I genuinely feel bad, because can you imagine waking up and believing you're seeing this bug-looking creature at the end of your bed? That's a horrifying experience.
We're going to bug out for a couple of minutes here. I'm sorry for the puns, folks. I can't help it. Ron, Gene, and Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream to the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA News Update. President Biden and former President Trump both speaking in Georgia Saturday night. Biden in Atlanta, Trump in the town of Rome.
He was an illegal immigrant. He was an illegal migrant, and he shouldn't have been in our country, and he never would have been under the Trump policy.
Instead of celebrating the contribution of immigrants to our country, to
to our economy and our communities. Donald Trump calls them vermin.
President Biden telling MSNBC in a sit-down interview he should not have used the word illegal to describe the illegal alien accused of killing 22-year-old Georgia nursing student Lakin Riley. Instead, he tells the left-leaning network he should have used the word undocumented during his State of the Union speech to describe the suspect here in our country illegally from Venezuela. Biden also called her Lincoln Riley instead of her real name, which is Lakin. And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
This is Jennifer Stein, executive producer of The Disclosure Dialogues. You're listening to The Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I wanted to throw something back at you, Ron, before we get on with the discussion. And that is the lack of physical evidence. Well, there's Roswell. If Roswell is real, it represented the crash of some kind of off-world craft, then somebody has it somewhere. That's evidence.
Somebody has it somewhere, and of course we think the government probably has it. You know, I was always holding out, hoping that someone was going to, on their 80th or 90th birthday, go, here's a piece of that metal. And, you know, yes, you're right. We don't have a lot of physical evidence, and that is a problem for people like myself, even, that it's tough. But, you know, what we do have is a lot of experiencers. That's a type of evidence. It's not physical evidence. There are physical evidence trace cases, of course. I'm sure you guys have heard about those, and that there's different things left behind or impressions in the earth from a craft or burn marks. There's various levels of physical evidence, trace evidence. Admittedly, there's not a lot of it, and it's not overwhelming. But there is some that corroborates with certain stories, which I always like those cases. But I also find it very powerful when multiple eyewitnesses to either a craft or a being or whatever come together. I find that more compelling, the more people that are involved in each of these cases. So do we need physical evidence to believe in all of this? I don't know. We have probably millions of people who have had some form of contactee experience. Why is that not enough for us to go on? And why does that not warrant further explanation and exploration? That's my opinion.
One of the things about physical evidence is that, we actually do have quite a number of physical pieces that have been collected over the years that, you know, allegedly came from UFOs. I mean, I wrote, with the help of a couple other people, an entire book on the subject just a couple of years ago. And one of the frustrating things about this material is that, for the most part, even though a lot of times they were seen to arrive in very peculiar situations, the material is of typical earthly metals. Some pieces that, like, Jacques Vallée has and Chris Nolan has, seems to show a different isotopic ratio, but so many others are suspiciously terrestrial in origin. And I'll give you one quick good case on this. This happened in Minnesota in the 1970s, where a number of eyewitnesses saw this very bright object in the sky that then came down over and landed on a local earthen dam surrounding a reservoir. The police got there really early, and it was still molten. And there were several hundred pounds of this molten material that, once it was collected and analyzed, it was it was iron, basically, a very cheap form of iron. So where did this thing come from? It couldn't have come from a satellite, you know, because a satellite wouldn't burn up and still be molten, or a meteorite when they landed. So you have all of these really peculiar situations when it comes to these types of artifacts that just continue to make the mystery even more mysterious.
Absolutely. And it's Gary Nolan. Chris Nolan's the director of Oppenheimer, but Gary Nolan is the guy that, with Jacques Vallée, they have studied a lot of different mysterious metals. And you've heard over the years, you guys, I'm sure, have heard of there's various cases who claim to have Roswell metal or other metals like you're mentioning that are seen from different UFO craft. And, you know, exactly. How do we know? I mean, even if they lab test it, number one, do you trust that? There's just so many levels. So let's say you really did find this piece of metal from a UFO. Now, whoever you give it to test, you got to trust them. You got to trust that the government's not going to confiscate it. You've got to trust the results. And then even if they come out and say, look, there's no metal like this on Earth, does that mean that it was built by an alien race? Or does that mean maybe it came from, you know, just like another meteor, it would came from somewhere else? It doesn't necessarily mean that's the answer. And conversely, maybe they make these out of regular old steel like we do, or aluminum or whatever. So it's like, even when I hear about those cases, it's interesting, but it's not going to be the be-all, end-all that many people are hoping for, because there's going to be so many speculations on what else it could be. Could be from a test aircraft. It could be new metal that we've constructed to use on new secret government aircraft. I mean, that's always an easy go-to answer, but it could be, right? I mean, the problem with all of these things that I struggle with is, how do we know?
Well, some people claim that they do know, that they've got all the answers and they're willing to talk about it for a fee.
Well, yeah, right.
to let you know that, you know, they have all the answers and everybody else is wrong.
Yeah, those are harder for me. I like a lot of the researchers that we try to bring in that have a little bit more of an open. We don't know, but here's what this is pointing to, or here's what that's pointing to. You know, even Van Daniken gets criticized a lot, but he argues that in Chariots of the Gods, he has so many question marks in there that he wasn't saying this is what it is. He was asking, what could this be? And I think that that's a better approach, because
I don't think any of us really know the answers to this. It's such a complex web of different things coming together. And I do love exploring those different webs to try to get closer to what it could be.
I've theorized on the show before that the people who are publicly looking at UFOs now within the military and the government only have a small amount of information. Gene was discussing this, where nobody wants to talk about anything that happened prior to 2004. So I've often wondered, you know, the modern UFO era started in 1947, whether or not that any evidence that was collected, especially by the military and intelligence services, especially in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, whether or not that research was so compartmentalized that once the people in charge retired, died, that was the end of it, that all the files, all the material are now locked away somewhere, and nobody has the right, I can't think of the word right now, to access it. It's lost, basically, and will forever be so until somebody tears the building down and comes across it.
I told you, Tim, it's in Warehouse 13. I want you to make sure that you understand that. There is a Warehouse 13, and it may not be a general place where people keep secret information. It may be, well, we don't know what to do with the stuff. Let's just throw it out. And I have some of the possibilities I want to mention in our final segment before we put Ron on, on the burner here for the After the Paracast podcast. And that is about what we know and what we're doing to figure out what's there. More to come with Gene, Tim, Ron. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience, so I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out TheParacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com, gcnfood.com.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So the question of the ages is here, if we have evidence of a crashed UFO, if it was 100, 200, 300, 1,000 years ahead of us, could we even make head or tails of it?
That's a great question. Show an iPhone to somebody 40 years ago, blow their mind, right? I mean, it's so hard to say because technology, that's been, what do they call it? To those who don't know, it's magic, you know, and it's been that way always. And I feel, look at how much further other places in our universe is, what, 13 billion years old or something like that? And our planet's only around less than five. They've got a hell of a jump start. And look what a difference 10 years makes on Earth. Just imagine what 1,000 or 10,000 or 10 million year head start on technology does. So just imagine what they're doing. They could have untold technology that we couldn't even get our heads around. That, to me, makes logical sense. What do you guys think?
All right. Well, it makes me think some of the early contactees, and I know that people have their own opinions when it comes to them, would say that when it came to, say, like crashed UFOs, that these beings had the technology to basically cause these craft just to melt away in a short amount of time, leaving only just a little bit of residue or ashes or what have you. So this could account, if you think that they're, you know, we're being upfront with their information, you know, why this material has been so limited, and why the doubters, you know, say that they've got, you know, that no evidence means that there's nothing going on, that this is a situation where everything just disappears, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, again, their technology could be like that. That's a disposable craft.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we talked about artificial intelligence is more likely, in my view, to be used to explore the galaxy. That's what we would send out. It seems much more efficient and better than a biologic, as far as I can tell. So you can imagine a scenario where they would send that out, and it's designed to collect certain amounts of data, send it back, and then disintegrate and go away. I mean, why? Why not? Technology, Jesus, who knows what we're looking at in the future? I mean, why wouldn't they? If they could travel that far across the universe, they probably have a lot more other technologies that we're not even addressing here. Like what you're saying, maybe it can self-destruct. Maybe it flies back. Who knows? Who knows?
Well, that's just it. You know, you were talking about show somebody an iPhone 40 years ago. Look how much our technology has changed in 100 years.
Right.
All right. Just the, say, like the invention of the aircraft. I mean, you know, we've gone from things that were put together with balsa wood and paper to aircraft that can basically reach the edge of space. So what are the next 100 years going to do? And if we're dealing with a technology, like you said, that is, you know, even just 1,000 years, I mean, really, that's not a lot. It could be just so incomprehensible to us as to, you know, an iPhone to Leonardo da Vinci.
Exactly. This is a great point, Tim. You know, there's funny videos on YouTube that are worth checking out. Do you know that they will show an old-style rotary phone to, like, a 10-year-old, and they honestly don't even know how to use it? Like, they don't know how to make the circle. They start pushing. They try. They're like, where's the screen? Where, what? Like, they don't know how to think about that. Such a simple thing to us, a rotary telephone. And a 10-year-old does not even know, because it's their worldview. Their point of view doesn't even know what that machine is. So you could just extrapolate that out to us trying to understand why another race would come here, another civilization would come here, how they would come here. We can't even scratch the surface, as far as I can tell.
So what do you hope to see in the future when it comes to research on the UFO phenomena? Do you think that it will continue like it is?
The big presidential Big D disclosure, I don't see that coming. But I do think events like Contact and researchers that we bring in, I think these kind of people are moving the needle and doing the serious research, and that's where we need to turn to learn the most we can about what's happening. And I really hope more gets revealed, and hopefully, you know, maybe more government whistleblowers will come out, more abductees and more experiencers who have had different experiences will feel comfortable as we get more used to this idea, and they'll come out. And so we continually get more and more information, and we get a better and better picture of what this puzzle really is building.
Well, of course, the one thing to raise here is the possibility, as I said before, we're having slow disclosure. The point being, the easiest way not to have a serious impact on society is to become gradually aware that something is going on. So one day you wake up and, okay, that's fine.
Yeah. I think that it would probably reach a tipping point. And like you guys brought up earlier that, you know, in pop culture, you know, kids are kind of raised. The Super Bowl, for God's sakes, had 6 UFO alien-themed commercials during the Super Bowl. So it's in our pop culture. It's in their minds. So you're growing up on this. You can only imagine how they would be much more receptive to it than people that didn't grow up in this time.
Maybe the people are ahead of the government. They usually are.
I think that's what I'm hoping for. That's what I believe that. I do think so.
I appreciate your optimism, Captain Ron. Take a minute or two to tell our listeners again about Contact in the Desert.
Well, Contact in the Desert really is this, if you're interested in this topic at all, or even ancillary topics around UFOs, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be surrounded by literally the world's leading experts in these fields and direct famous contactees, unknown contactees, people like Whitley Strieber, Travis Walton, and then people that are on the front lines. Danny Sheehan is in Washington now working on this stuff. Stephen Bassett, who we talked about earlier, he's out there. These guys are going to be there sharing exactly what's going on. Nick Pope's there. These guys are the guys that are in the know of what's happening right now in Washington. And if you're there, you get to experience what's happening. You get a real sense that you're getting the firsthand information of what's really happening on the cutting edge of this stuff. So it's an all-around great experience for that, plus the camaraderie among the attendees and everybody that's there, everybody that works there. Again, it's like this communal event where we all sort of share ideas and share the stories like you guys and I did today, speculating about the different possibilities. And getting to do that with such renowned people is a rare opportunity, and certainly worth it to anyone who's even remotely interested in this stuff.
Where do they go to find out more?
Contactinthedesert.com. That's where everything is. You can email us there. You can reach out there. You can get your tickets there. We offer all kinds of other things, too. We have an astronomer, Mark D'Antonio, who takes people in a bus out to the desert to look at the night sky, and he explains what's going on in the universe, and there's all kinds of things on there. It's worth checking out. Contactinthedesert.com.
You can check us out on Twitter, X, Threads. Look for the Paracast. You can buy branded merchandise for the show at theparacast.store or theparacast.shop. Four logos to choose from. We have a streaming service called the Paracast Plus at theparacast.plus. For fast sign up, you get the exclusive After the Paracast bonus podcast, where Ron will be back for more discussions. You also get this show without network ads. If you want to know more and get the fastest sign up ever for the Paracast Plus, go to theparacast.plus. That's what it sounds like, theparacast.plus. Captain Ron, been so great to meet you. Best of luck with your event, Contact in the Desert. Thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you, brother.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.